Good evening and welcome to Tom Harrisy USA, episode number 53 from very chilly Chicago, Illinois. Yes, we have had quite a downturn of temperature in the last little while here, pretty much since the last time I recorded a show. But that was a while now. I've actually had kind of a longer break than normal between the last show and this show. And that occasionally happens because what'll happen is I'll post a show, and then sometimes I'll get an idea for something right away after I've posted that show, and I'll just go ahead and record bits and pieces and kind of assemble a show out of those bits and pieces. And in the case of the last show, I got it done a day or two early. So it seems like it's been a while since I've sat down and chatted with you, though I know it really hasn't. So what have I been doing? Well, I'm continuing to job hunt. That is ongoing. However, I really don't have anything to report at this point. I am working on a couple other projects, and I've been trying to get caught up on my podcast. Now, what has happened since I lost my job is that I was listening, I think, to 6 podcasts when I was working, and now I'm listening to like 15. And some of them are pretty regular. I know I used to complain about Chris Reardon doing a lot of shows, but since he went to a half-hour format, it really hasn't seemed like that much. But now I'm really having to keep up, and you know, 3 times a week doesn't seem like it's so bad. There's a few podcasts that I'm listening to who actually do a lot of material, including, as I mentioned before, our friend Tom Wiles over at the Trucker Tom podcast. I have an email here from him, and I'll read that in a minute. I have been working on bits and pieces and trying to come up with some special type shows and more of the shows that I actually spend some time researching, as opposed to the shows that I just kind of throw together, which is normally how I do this. Anywho, I have an email here from our good friend Tom Wiles, also known as Trucker Tom, and you can listen to his podcast at www.truckertompodcast.com. And he puts out a show every day. Believe it or not, he actually puts out an hour to 90-minute show every single day, with a few exceptions. And it's very interesting stuff. So if you have an interest in hearing his podcast, feel free to go there. Anyway, Tom sent me an email replying to episode number 51, where I was talking about the cold reading. Tom has this to say about that. Tom, your discussion of the cold reading topic was interesting, and I look forward to the future discussions you mentioned regarding warm reading and hot reading. I thought I actually had talked about that, but you know what? I will continue after this email and talk about that. People are vulnerable to the idea that a so-called psychic can predict their future for essentially the same reason that people fall for African male scams, winning the lottery, lying politicians promising the moon, etc. The wrong side of their ego is appealed to and believes it is getting something special and or something for nothing. Snakes have their snake charmers. It doesn't matter what is being promised, they want to believe. They want to believe the psychic can predict a good future. They want to believe that they will beat the odds and win the lottery. They want to believe that the government can save them. It's all a form of misplaced faith. Furthermore, it serves them right when they find themselves scammed. It takes two to tango. Hope you're having a great weekend, Tom. Thank you, Tom, for the comment. I'm going to disagree with you. I guess that's probably not that surprising. I think you're kind of half right when you're talking about the wrong side of their ego and so forth. Now, this is a theme that comes up again and again on Tom's show, and he talks a lot about the whole idea of people being lazy and people having the wrong side of the ego stroke, which makes them suggestible. And there's some validity to the idea. I think maybe not as much as Tom sees, but I think that the idea of the wrong side of somebody's ego being appealed to is, I think, more true for the people who become psychics, for the people who do the cold readings. Because in my experience, people who think of themselves as psychics and people who actually believe that they have psychic abilities are, generally speaking, people who want to believe that they are special. And maybe they're insecure, maybe, you know, they have nothing else going on and they have to cling to that because they have nothing else to cling to. But in my experience, you know, I've met a lot of people who believe that they're psychic. And I have to say, and I've said it before on this show, I've never met anybody who is actually psychic. Now, they may think they are, but I've never met anybody who actually is. And there was one friend in particular. This was some years ago when I was still living in Ohio. And he really believed himself to be a psychic. I don't think he was being insincere, but he, you know, we actually tested him. You know, we did the card thing, and we did the the tests just to try to satisfy him that you know our observation was that he wasn't psychic. And you know, he failed the tests. I mean, he got as many right as you would suspect that people would get right from just the odds of getting something right. And obviously, it's, you know, you're going to guess lucky once in a while, but not any kind of degree of accuracy that, you know, was at all significant. And, you know, I've actually known other people too. It wasn't just him. And I think a lot of that comes from, you know, this feelings of a lack of self-worth. And wanting to feel like you're somebody special that can do something that other people can't do, that makes you better than everyone else. And I think a lot of these psychics, it's driven by their ego. And certainly you can look at the more successful psychics, you know, the ones who have lots of books out, the ones who have, you know, TV shows, you know, the Sylvia Browns and the John Edwards and that group. They do have huge egos. And if you look at the articles that are written about them by people who aren't believers, you see that, and the reactions that they have to debunkers like James Randi and some of the other people. You can see that they really are in a serious case of denial about their so-called gifts. And that is, of course, assuming that they don't know that they don't have gifts. And I think that there are a few of those out there who actually know that they don't have gifts, and they are purposely scamming people. And I think that more with the people who go to see a psychic, I don't think that necessarily their motivation is greed or, you know, wanting to have their ego stroked. Maybe there's some who are like that. Because after all, the psychics will not tell them you're a horrible person and you know, you deserve to fail or whatever. The psychics will never say that. So maybe there's some validity to the ego theory there. But I think that the main reason why people go to psychics, and the main reason that people call these psychic hotlines and watch the TV shows and buy the books, is that they're fearful. I really think it has to do with fear and uncertainty. And when times get tough, I think we see an increase in that. When tragedies happen, when, you know, 9/11 happened, and it's the exact same thing that happens with religion. When 9/11 happened, all of a sudden you had this huge influx of people who started to turn to religion because of fear. And it's exactly the same way with the psychics as it is with the religion. I mean, you start feeling afraid, and you need somebody to reassure you that it's okay. Oh, yes, it'll be fine, you know. And I think that's really where most of the people who go to psychics come from. I think they come from a sense of fear and a sense of uncertainty. And maybe Steve in Florida can kind of enlighten us. I don't know if he is willing to do it or able to do it, because Steve does, you know, tarot over the phone and things, and he, I think he would know, you know, even though he's doing it for the reasons of entertainment, and that's, you know, written all over his site. I think that you know, a lot of people that call those things actually do so in the belief that it's real, And that's one of the reasons why I don't think that I would be able to do that. I have too much of a conscience to be able to mislead people. And I would actually have to tell everybody right up front, you know, I don't have psychic powers. You know, I'm just feeding you data. Your brain is what's making sense of it or not making sense of it, as the case may be. And I don't think the people that run the psychic hotlines would like that very much. But I have a feeling that you'll find that's true. I think that a lot of the callers are people who are very troubled, and they have suspicions about, you know, people in their life. You know, is my husband having an affair? Is my wife having an affair? You know, and I think that a lot of the questions that people have for the psychics, especially like the phone psychics and Miss Cleo and that sort of thing, it comes from that place. And you know, I don't like the idea of ripping somebody off. I don't think that gullible people deserve to be ripped off. You could certainly say that it's something that they have caused for themselves, that they have caused themselves to be ripped off. But I don't know if I would say that they deserve it. Certainly my mom, I don't think my mom deserved to be ripped off by Elizabeth. And actually, that's a real good example. My mom believes that she's psychic. Now, I would say, you know, if anybody who believes they're psychic should look back at their life and see, did they foresee the horrible things that have happened to them during their life, or foresee, you know, the mistakes they've made, their divorces, etc. Or the old joke, the old stand-up joke about the psychic, you know, the storefront psychics who open up in strip malls and so forth, and then they go out of business. Well, why didn't they foresee that? You know, if they're really psychic, why did they bother spending the money to open a place to begin with, knowing that they would lose it? I suppose you could get some kind of bullshit answer about, well, there was that one person who needed help, and you know, I was there for the, you know, I don't know. But it's all very, very silly. Now, in regards to warm reading and hot reading, I thought I had discussed this already. Now, as we talked about cold reading. Now, cold reading is how the so-called psychics will come up with sort of data about somebody basically through wild guessing. You know, just saying, well, I'm seeing a name that begins with an M. Marilyn, Mary, Martin, you know, and somebody in the group, because cold reading works better if you're in a group setting than if you're in an individual setting. And I think if you're in an individual setting, cold reading techniques don't work as well, because you're going to have numerously more misses when you have one person than if you have a group of 10. Or 50, or 100, or you know, however many of these people like John Edward have on their show. Now, warm reading is a little bit different, because warm reading usually involves having some foreknowledge. Not a lot of foreknowledge, but having some knowledge of a person. And I'll give a good example here. The psychic who my mother was involved with, she read objects. And I know this is a very common thing for the so-called psychics to do. And what they'll do is they'll say, okay, well, bring me an object and I'll tell you about the owner. And my mom decided she was going to have this done. She was going to have this done by her psychic. And she came to each of us kids and asked for an item of ours to take to her. And I picked up a sock and handed her a sock. And she didn't like that. She thought maybe I was being snotty, and I guess I probably was being snotty. But you know, if she's really reading the object, if she's really going to be able to tell something from the vibrations of this object that belongs to you, then she should be able to do that from a sock. But my mom didn't like that, so she said, no, it has to be something that gives her an idea of your personality. And my reply to that was, if she needs a clue to my personality, then she's not psychic. Of course, that led to a struggle. You know, my mom tried to get it. I think eventually she ended up taking something out of my room and taking, I don't remember what happened at that point, but maybe she took the sock. I don't know. All I can tell you is that whatever that psychic told my mom about me, she was just pulling it out of her butt. I mean, she really was just probably making it up. But that's the idea. You know, she wanted an item that would tell the psychic something about my personality. Okay, so that's data being fed to the psychic. And the more data you have, the warmer and warmer the reading is. So you can say a warm reading is a combination of knowing generalities about a person, like what are they interested in. So, for example, if the object I had given her had been a paintbrush, then the psychic could go, oh, well, I can see that your son is very artistic, you know. Very simple sort of logic behind that. And then they will use their cold reading techniques to give you more information, supposedly, about the person. And of course, you know, they're not really giving you real information. They're just kind of making stuff up based on what little information they have. Now, hot reading is something entirely different. Now, hot reading is what I would call cheating, fraud. And I did talk about that a little bit last time. And that would be a case where, like, for example, you fill out a prayer card. And this is what happens a lot with faith healers. They'll have you fill out a prayer card when you come in. And people will go through the prayer cards backstage. And they'll pick out one and they'll say, okay, this person gave a lot of information. And they'll feed that through a hidden receiver, usually like one of these little in-ear wireless receivers, kind of like what Bush was using in the presidential debates with Kerry, you know, the thing that made the bulge in the back of his suit because he was wearing a wire. And the idea is that they are having this data fed directly to them by somebody backstage reading. And I'm trying to remember the name of the faith healer that got caught doing that and was trying to claim that this was God revealing it to him when it was actually his wife revealing it to him from backstage. And I'm trying to think of the name of the guy. But anyway, it was a couple of members of the James Randi Educational Foundation were there with a receiver in the audience, and they picked up the radio signals of the wife talking to her husband on stage. And what was that guy's name? Okay, I had to stop and actually look it up because it was bothering me so much. The name of the faith healer in question that I was thinking of is Peter Popoff. And he's been around for a very long time. And what happened was that he was proved to be a fraud by two members of the JREF who had gone into one of his faith healing things. Now, the way he worked, and this is the way a lot of these so-called psychics work, is they'll actually come up with a name. And in the case of Peter Popoff, he would get this information from prayer cards that people would actually fill out before the show. And then they would be going through them backstage. And you know, Popoff claims that he receives these messages directly from the Holy Spirit. He knows the name of the people, the kind of illness that they're suffering from, and sometimes even where they live. And he'll call this out from the stage as though God is revealing it to him. And of course, it's complete fraud. I mean, it's, you know, and this guy probably has made millions off this scam. There are recordings on the internet and videos on the internet of Peter Popoff committing this fraud. And what the deal was is that Elizabeth Popoff, his wife, and there were other people backstage looking through the cards and coming up with these names and feeding it to him through a transmitter. That's a pretty good example of a hot reading, where the person is actually fed knowledge surreptitiously and then goes out. So that's really kind of the difference between cold reading, warm reading, and hot reading. So I hope that clears things up. But going back a bit to a little bit earlier in the conversation, I was talking about how I really see this as analogous to people who turn to religion in a time of trouble, in a time of uncertainty, a time of crisis for themselves, or maybe they're feeling powerless, or maybe they're feeling inadequate, or whatever. And I think that there's a very valid point to be made here about people who, the seek out psychics are you know, some people who are more religiously minded are equally going to turn to religion, because religion promises the same flim-flam as psychics do. A psychic will tell you, yes, there is, life after death, and your dead relatives are waiting for you on the other side. Here, you can ask them a question right now. Or the psychic will tell you, yes, you need to worry about this aspect of a problem. No, you don't need to worry about that aspect of a problem. In other words, people are asking the psychic to do their thinking for them, and they allow the psychic to make decisions for them, or even worse, the psychic is trying to steer them towards decision that the psychic would have them do and exert control over the person. So how is this different from religion? It really isn't. And, the only difference is that the psychic is saying, well, that, this is coming from, the spirits or whatever. And a minister is going to say, well, this is coming from God. And I've seen this over and over and over again. I saw it in the church all the time, where the minister is not trying to help a person through their problem by helping them work something out. In other words, helping them to help themselves, but trying to guide them towards the goal of whatever the minister decides is appropriate. And usually the case is, well, you need to study more the Bible, you need to pray more and have more faith in the church, or have more faith in Jesus. So how is this any different? I honestly don't see it as different at all. In fact, I see it as part of the same sort of insidious mind control. And one wonders how many church leaders out there, ministers out there, know that they're misleading people. And I honestly don't see any difference. Now, I suppose a religious person could say in this situation that, well, the difference is that Jesus is real, but the psychic powers aren't. But that's simply a matter of faith, isn't it? I mean, there's no actual proof or evidence to show that there is any such thing as a God, just as there's no proof or evidence to prove that there's any such thing as psychic powers. And to me, they're identical. And I think that that's a very, very important point to make. What does it matter? And I think that the answer here is, when people have problems and people have a lack of self-confidence, they need to take responsibility for their problems and do whatever they can to solve it, and not use the cop-out of religion or psychics or whatever, or the government, to solve the problems for them. Maybe what they need to do is actually embrace the fact that they're not able to handle all of their problems by themselves and go to other people for help. I don't see any reason to put their faith in religion, put their faith in psychics or any other supernatural agency. Because really, what is it all? What is faith but wishful thinking? This is, I think, a really good point that needs to be made in these matters, because there's an awful lot of people out there who believe in psychics. There's an awful lot of people out there who believe in religion. And there's a lot of people out there who think that all they need to do is to lay their problems on the feet of a non-existent being. And that's exactly the same as doing nothing, folks. Things will either work out or they won't. And I think if you pass the buck, it's not going to help you. What's going to help you is taking control of the situation. Now, maybe religion has some role in making you feel better about your problems, and you can blame it on the devil or whatever, but that's an entirely different topic. So what are you going to do? I mean, we talked about this a little bit last time with the placebos, and the placebo effect only works if you don't know that you're not receiving medication. The mind believes that you are receiving medication and therefore has a response. But as I said in that episode where I was talking about the placebo effect, the placebo effect is actually pretty small, and it's not something that you can fool yourself into believing. So it's never going to be a situation where you can take a sugar pill and actually cure yourself of diseases through the power of the mind. Now, this is kind of a tangent, but I think it's relevant in a way, is that sometimes these things don't have any effect at all. And in fact, a lot of the time they don't. And a good example of that is Alcoholics Anonymous. Some years ago, I was a dramaturg for a show here in Chicago, a production of Days of Wine and Roses, and was doing research on AA, and I found something really interesting in the research. And the research that AA has shows that the AA program, now mind you, this is AA's own figures, this is not something that was compiled by somebody outside, shows that the AA program has the exact same rate of success as people who do absolutely nothing. The people who try to quit drinking on their own without using the 12-step program. It's a scam. Yeah, the exact same number of percentage of people are going to be helped by doing nothing as going to AA. So, I mean, this is not something that's just on the fringes. This is something that's actually really part of our mainstream society. Okay, so running a little bit towards the end of the show here, I have something here, kind of an extra special little Thanksgiving feature for you all to close out the show. So as I've talked about many times on the show before, I'm not a big believer in holidays. I don't really do the holiday thing, but this is Thanksgiving week here in the U.S., and I kind of wanted to close out the show with a few extra special Thanksgiving thoughts, courtesy of Uncle Bill Burroughs. This is a sound clip of William S. Burroughs that was recorded about 1986 or so, and is entitled A Thanksgiving Prayer. Now, I do want to stress that the opinions, the viewpoints, and the sentiments expressed in this clip are solely those of William Seward Burroughs. May he rest in peace. And they don't reflect my views or the views of Tom Harris USA or really kind of anybody I know. I presented here purely for entertainment purposes. So without further ado, have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And I leave you with Uncle Bill Burroughs reading his own work, A Thanksgiving Prayer. This is Tom Harris signing off. Have a great weekend, folks.
For John Dillinger, and hope he is still alive. Thanksgiving Day, November 28th, 1986. Thanks for the wild turkey and the passenger pigeons, destined to be shit out through wholesome American guts. Thanks for a continent to despoil and poison. Thanks for Indians to provide a modicum of challenge and danger. Thanks for vast herds of bison to kill and skin, leaving the carcasses to rot. Thanks for bounties on wolves and coyotes. Thanks for the American dream to vulgarize and falsify until the bare lies shine through. Thanks for the KKK, for nigger-killing lawmen thieving their notches, for decent church-going women with their mean, pinched, bitter, evil faces. Thanks for killer queer for Christ stickers. Thanks for laboratory AIDS. Thanks for prohibition and the war against drugs. Thanks for a country where nobody is allowed to mind his own business. Thanks for a nation of finks. Yes, thanks for all the memories. All right, let's see your arms. You always were a headache and you always were a bore. Thanks for the last and greatest betrayal of the last and greatest of human dreams.